Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage.
This, well, you know what that song means. It's time for the Farinis to be here. It's our favorite Italian couple, honestly. Joe and Cindy Farini with My Marriage Matters. Thanks for coming on the show, you guys.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing great.
My dad loved that.
He did?
Loved it. Oh, yeah. Yes. He loved it. I know he did.
Yes.
Listen to that laugh.
And I just want you to know that I always wanted to be Italian, so I married one.
There you go.
She's grafted in.
I love it.
So we've talked about this topic a few times now, but when you've had the opportunity during Family Life's weekend to remember getaways, what do you say to people who are, you know, in the midst of struggling with possibly an affair?
Well, you know, I think that a lot of times when couples come to us, we sort of hear the same scenario, only maybe just a little bit different wording from each one. And a lot of times it tends to be when they're pointing the finger at their spouse, and it sounds something like this. You know, you're not meeting my needs. They're not meeting my needs. You know, they're not doing life the way I thought we should be. Or, but here's the bottom line. They're always pointing the finger at the other person. And I think one of the things that we want to do, and we're going to be doing this for the next 3 weeks, tackling this topic, but I feel like we really need to take the responsibility upon ourselves. And so, you know, while there's going to be times in our marriage where there's maybe we're not spending enough time together, and certainly that's a great thing to do to affair-proof your marriage, spend time together. I think it's important that we look at ourselves and we begin to take on that responsibility, because our behavior is 100% our responsibility. And to always point the finger at the other person, you know, isn't really healthy. One other thing, just a little side note here. We often also note that when people begin to get into that mindset, if you will, of straying from their marriage, they often start to do things like, you know, change their hairstyle, start to lose weight, they start to work out, maybe they get, you know, their teeth fixed. They start to do all these things because they're really trying to present themselves to other people. Mm-hmm. And so we want to, in these next couple of weeks and today, to really just concentrate on how can I affair-proof my marriage without pointing a finger, you know, at my spouse.
So we're talking about finger pointing here a lot. What if you turn that finger and point it back at yourself? Then what?
That's a good question. Well, I think we need to do that. You know, that's really the point of what we want to talk about today. We have to say, hey, what, you know, what is my responsibility in this marriage? And I think that, you know, we often look at our circumstances and we say, you know, this isn't right and that isn't right and this isn't working out. Believe me, in our marriage of 37 years, there's many things that each one of us could have said, hey, you know, I'm done with this. This isn't going quite the way that I expected it to go. But what we have to do is our mind and our hearts and our eyes have to be first, of course, on God and then on our marriage and our marriage partner. If we told you how many times we were frustrated with different things in terms of caring for a son with special needs, wow, you know, we would have each been like out the door years ago, because it's tough. It would be much easier to say, hey, let's move on to another relationship. But you know what? It doesn't change the circumstances for which you may have left. So that's what we want to concentrate today, really on our mind and the direction that our mind takes us.
All right, so then let's go to Dad here. So then what do you say would be like a good place to start in terms of proofing your marriage against affairs?
Yeah, well, what Mom said, it was just absolutely right on target. And I'm just going to play off of actually what Brian said earlier, and that is that, you know, this is not exempt from Christians here.
Yeah.
I mean, most people we talk to are Christians, and so I'm going to really begin to address what I'm going to say to this Christian audience that we're talking to right now and share my thoughts about what you, Christian, as an individual, can start doing to affair-proof your marriage. And it really begins, in my opinion, with developing an uncompromising, irrevocable surrender of your life to Christ And many times we just call this the spirit-filled life. You know, there is no shortcut, really, to affair-proof in your marriage. You start with strengthening your relationship with the Lord. The stronger that relationship is, the stronger your marriage is going to be, the stronger your family is going to be. And the way really to start that marriage, that relationship with the Lord, is to begin to know him better. And the best way to get to know him better is to know and read his love letter to you, which is the Bible. And, you know, the Bible must become the primary source of growing in your relationship with the Lord. I mean, there are many good devotionals out there. There are many good sermons you can listen to. And I would encourage that, you know, you do both of those things. But there is no substitute for studying the Bible. You know, everyone's looking for these simple formulas to achieve success in life. And I can tell you that God, in his gracious, loving kindness towards us, has given us that formula. And it's found in Joshua 1, verses 6 through 8. Now, in that passage, what God does is he's telling Joshua, if you want to have success in your life, then what you need to do, according to verse 8, and I'm just going to paraphrase that, basically, you need to meditate on my word day and night. Be careful to do all that's written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have success. And clearly, one of the side effects of following that exhortation from God is that you'll have an overflow effect onto your marriage as well. And just to get a little bit more, even more practical here, in terms of what we do at our conferences, and I can tell you that without exception, every married couple that I've ever spoken to that have had an affair or have gone through divorce, without exception, one or both of them has stopped reading and studying the Bible. And I mean, that's a consistently characteristic we see in these relationships. And so this is just one of the main things I think you can do to help fair-proof your marriage. I mean, other essentials like praying, fellowshipping, getting discipled, getting into a mentoring relationship, attending a Bible-believing preaching church. I mean, these are disciplines that you need to be doing, engaging with, to help protect your marriage relationship. So
that's great advice. And I know you've covered a lot of things here, Cindy. Is there anything else you want to add to this as we're talking about being proactive?
Well, I think we need to be proactive by protecting our mind. I think that's where it starts. And I think that's a lot of what Joe's saying here. You know, we want to get into God's word and have strong convictions for the kinds of things that might come our way. So, for instance, you know, if you are noticing that you're dressing differently because you're going to the store and you know you're going to see a particular person that works at that store or your office, I would say, you know, that right there becomes a red flag. That should tell your heart right there, hey, you are not looking to pleasing your spouse. You are looking to, you know, another person. And you know, even we think about things like just the way people dress a lot of times today, you know, low-cut tops for women and things like that. And I think, you know, like women, start to think about how you're dressing. And men, you know, think about how you're looking at other people. And there's like that principle where they say you bounce your eye. So if you happen to see someone dressed and you kind of want to take that second look, well, you don't. You just bounce your eyes and you look somewhere else. That becomes a discipline, and the discipline comes from your mind. How am I going to train my mind? And staying busy in things within your own marriage, you know, if you're not fulfilling your own marriage, it's going to be very easy to look outside that marriage. But I really want to caution people that so often the circumstances in your own marriage, they are not the cause of your affair. The cause of the affair is you. Yeah. The cause of the affair is that you have chosen, you've made it a point, you've made it I'm taking a step forward, whether it's sharing something that you shouldn't with someone else in your office. You know, you're making that step that leads you one step in the wrong direction. And so, you know, find someone you can be accountable to. Find someone you can learn scripture with. Your husband, for me as a wife, you know, that would be with my husband. Maybe even a good friend, you know, like me with a good girlfriend who would really say, hey, Cindy, you know, what are you thinking about here? You know, we can't spend time with someone of the opposite sex and not think that we're going to grow in a relationship, because that naturally happens. So our mind has to start with saying to us, you know, that wasn't a good decision that you shared that much over lunch with your work colleague. Hmm. And that would be a good place in your mind to say, you know what, I'm not going to do that again. When we start divulging those little pieces of our lives that are just for our spouse, we're stepping in the wrong direction. Hmm. So we personally have to make that our goal, to say, you know, this is my issue. Not pointing at my husband and saying, hey, you didn't meet my needs in this particular way, but to say, you know what, maybe that's true, but what am I doing to train my mind so that I'm not looking and straying in another direction?